Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the World Series of Politics podcast, where two heavy hitters in the political, legislative, and regulatory space take swings at the curveballs thrown at the gaming sector by legislators and regulators around the world for IGB. We've got Brendan Bussman and Grant Iden stepping up to the plate to discuss the hot topics in this space from across the world. Let's play ball on another episode of the World Series of Politics.
Welcome back to another World Series of Politics podcast. I'm your pilot. We're flying at 30,000 feet. Brendan Bussman, my co-pilot. Welcome back. I heard you were just on the road, but today you're in Vegas, right?
I was just on the road. I always love being the co-pilot of our wonderful podcast here. But literally, yes, just got in from the wonderful UAE last week. Or yesterday, I should say. I was there all this last week. But glad to be back in the States today, but head back out on the road this weekend. So short recovery here.
Well, welcome back to the States, and the show must go on. Here we are. I will say a couple things to our listeners and viewers out there. First off, we apologize. It has been like 3 weeks since we've had a podcast and an update. I will 100% blame our producer, the Wonder Kid, who screwed the last episode up. We get to do that because we're talent. We're talent, and we get to blame producers. The reality of it is that we had some technical hiccups with our last show, so we are a little bit delayed, but we have got a lot to talk about on this show. We've got to catch up from some things that happened, so we're going to highlight a couple of states. We're going to talk about what's currently happening in the industry and where we're at, because there's some very exciting things that I believe have happened in the past 48 hours or so. And then we're going to jump right into what the summer looks like for us and some international things that we're working on. So, Brendan, I want to go back, though. Let's rewind the script a little bit, and let's start with Minnesota. Give us a high-level overview. What the hell happened? Why did it tank? Why did it not pass? Where are we at with that situation?
Well, as I always like to say and start off talking about Minnesota, for those of you on your bingo card that had burglary to kill sports betting, congratulations, you win. But that was one of many things that we ended up and why it didn't get across the finish line at the end. You know, you had a host of challenges along the way with getting to a package that got not just the tribes that have been very good and steadfast in remaining on the same page, but trying to get charitable gaming and the tracks along the way and those feeling, hey, we need to make sure we get this and that taken care of. It's hard sometimes to make the sausage, as we always like to talk about, but, you know, in the end, one of the downfalls off of this was just you had, you know, a bunch of people, some R's, some D's, that just didn't want to get along at the end. And although, you know, we had a compromise, you'll see, you know, several stories that have been published over the last week that show, hey, we had a compromise. You saw people in the chamber of both parties and from both houses come together and say, hey, we're here. We've got a package together. In the end, leadership failed and said, hey, we're just not going to advance it forward. It's not on our agenda. And you can't do it, literally, as you'll recall, because you and I were in communication, that magical three-hour window that is supposed to take place between both houses is that cooling-off period going, okay, we're past the midnight deadline, which was 9 p.m. Central. We're not going to get this done before midnight. Yet they go and pass a 1,400-page bill that arguably hadn't been shopped in any way and avoided every process. So we got killed by the process this year. We'll come back again. We'll fight another day to be able to do this. But, you know, it's unfortunate we didn't get there. And we'll see if I end up owing you a bottle of Pinot off of this. But obviously my end of this is out along the way. But, you know, you still have a little bit of a couple weeks alive to see if there's an exchange of goods along the way.
Well, and yes, and thank you for bringing that up. That is a wonderful segue into, by the way.
I really tried. Yeah,
no, that's wonderful. Into what's happening in Washington, D.C. Obviously, for our listeners out there, Brendan and I have our annual wager in place. Brendan, we wager a bottle of my favorite Pinot Noir, Paul Hobbs, who should be a sponsor as much as I talk about Paul Hobbs these days. We should probably have
Paul Hobbs and I can get Coke, we're golden.
We should probably have them sponsor the show. But anyway, all of that to say, that's the wager. Brendan took Minnesota to pass. And by the way, I wanted Minnesota to pass so badly that I was willing to cough up that bottle of Pinot this year. I mean, we were on the precipice of bringing Minnesota into the fold with this thing. But alas, here we are.
I know. Unfortunately, I will say this at the end. Yes, we had a compromise. Yes, we had a bill. But as you know, several weeks out, as this has gone through the tussle of trying to get to a compromise, you know, when you get to a segment where you're literally trying to hit a revenue number to make all stakeholders happy, in the end, it necessarily wasn't the best bill when it came to it. I would have been happy if it would have passed because, you know, we didn't have to start all over again next year because we'll arguably have a new crew to deal with, depending on how elections fall out there and a few things. But, you know, we live another day and we'll figure out what that is. But, you know, you're still living the day in D.C. and we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks. What's the latest?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. And so where are we at with D.C.? Let me just give a brief overview. In the past 48 hours, D.C. started their budget process. And there was a lot of debate with this piece of legislation. Councilmember McDuffie has put forth a bill which basically would authorize a competitive mobile market in the district. Right? There was a lot of debate as to whether or not that piece of legislation was going to be inserted into the budget or whether it was going to be a standalone piece of legislation. Where we sit today is that the language that McDuffie has crafted, calling for a open, competitive mobile sports betting market in the district, is now inserted into the budget. That process will unfold over the course of the next 3 weeks or so while council debates the overall budget package, at which point in time the budget package will eventually be passed with certain language in it. It'll get sent to Congress. Congress has 30 days to approve. Then it'll be off to the races. And the question becomes, will this caveat that allows for an open and competitive mobile sports market stay in the budget? Will it get removed? Will it become a standalone piece of legislation? I think all of that remains to be seen. But I will say that the positive news is that the district is moving forward with a competitive model. They have said, they being the commissioners and council members, have said, look, this model that Intralot has put forth just hasn't worked. This D.C. sole-sourced lottery-run contract has failed the district. It's failed the citizenry. It hasn't brought in the revenue that was anticipated. And just simply putting a Band-Aid on this with a new operator in the market, simply coming in and taking over for the failed program of Intralot in the past on sports betting isn't going to solve the problem. We need a robust competitive market. And that's where the council members are today. What do you think?
Well, you know, I couldn't agree with you more that we need a competitive market. The more competitive market, it drives innovation. It helps the consumer. It helps, you know, competition just continues to breed good things for good markets and open markets. And D.C. needs to be a part of that. I will say this, and I commend the operators that continue to push for this competitive market. Along the way, because you are fighting a bureaucracy that has become such a wag the dog mentality of trust us, ignore that we got you into this single market, and ignore to us the studies that we paid for that limited the spectrum of options for consumers, and be able to do this, and trust us, we've got this fixed still under the same premise of we failed once, but trust us again to do it. It needs to be an open market. I hope the council does the right thing and keeps it in the budget and keeps this moving forward. But as you said, you know, and as we all know from the work we do in other jurisdictions, you know, it's never till it's over. And we've got to get to that point. We'll see, you know, until the last votes come in off of this. And obviously there's not just the local vote, but then this has to go to Congress. We'll see what happens, but you know, D.C. needs to be like its neighbors in Maryland and Virginia, an open and competitive market. It's what people deserve and it's what people are entitled to.
No, that's absolutely right. So So you've got, and I guess, you know, in that same region, close to bordering, we've got a situation for those of you following at home on your race card, what's left, we've got Delaware, which is debating the same situation, right? Delaware, of course, is still in through the end of June. So basically left for the year, we've got D.C. remonitoring, we've got Delaware remonitoring. Delaware is sort of facing the same dynamics, I believe, that D.C. is facing in a lot of ways. You've got, obviously, a sole-sourced operator there through the lottery, and then you've got operators searching for a competitive market to be able to enhance revenues to the state. The same situation applies. Now, of course, currently just being debated is sports betting, but Delaware also has gaming, which, of course, is not a competitive model either. And as such, Delaware is really lagging compared to other states as it relates to that iGaming revenue.
Well, and you say that saying Delaware has always been an example I used, and this goes back, you know, since we started the discussion on online sports betting and everything else, or sports betting in general, going, Delaware's model has always been broken. This is the opportunity to fix it and be able to do that. And it's one that they've left money on the table. They've, you know, not given the best product to their citizens and the consumers that want to partake in this along the way. And it's really an opportunity right now, and they're at a crossroads to fix it. So hopefully they do. Obviously, I know there's pressures not to, and we'll see how that all plays out and what that looks like, you know, but it is one of those that, you know, from a free market, open market, competitive market to challenge the illegal market, you have to do the right thing and be able to do this. Otherwise, you run into problems.
Yeah, no, that's spot on. And speaking of the illegal market, another
segue.
You're teeing them up. I'm knocking them out of the park. Illinois. I mean, what in the world happened with Illinois? By the way, ruined my Memorial Day weekend. Illinois obviously has now moved forward. Now, it's not official because the governor has not signed it. But, of course, the budget process happened over Memorial Day weekend here in the States, in Illinois, which was last weekend. The reality of it was that the governor was pushing from day one an increased tax rates for sports betting operators to basically backfill a $200 million gap. They had about a $400 million gap in the budget, but $200 of it he thought could come from, he being the governor, proposed could come from new revenue from sports betting operators by increasing their tax rates. The original plan was to a flat tax of 35%. By the time the legislature got done making the sausage, it's now a tiered progressive tax rate that starts out at a 20% rate and escalates all the way up to a 40% rate based upon AGR. And by the way, of the $200 million, this is my favorite part, Brendan, then I'm going to let you tee off because I know you've got a lot to say about it. Brendan, by the way, always has a lot to say about taxes. But here's my favorite part. Do you know what the $200 million shortfall was part of? It was a 5% increase for politicians in their pay rate in the state of Illinois. So they put the taxes on the backs of citizens to raise their own pay. Now the governor says, well, wait a minute, I don't take a paycheck because I'm a multi-billionaire. I'm Governor Pritzker and I'm heir to the Hyatt hotel chain. But all these other public officials got a pay raise, 5% pay increase on the backs of now consumers that are now going to be stuck with worse odds simply because they couldn't find another place to go with this. And at the end of the day, had they just instituted iGaming in the state, they would have easily made up more than $200 million. Now, I've had my rant, tee off.
you've had your rant, but now I'm going to continue on mine because there's nothing worse than a politician that is only there to care about taking care of themselves and remain a part of the political class.
That's all they did in Illinois. That was it. They wanted to raise their own pay, their salary increases. That's it.
That's all it was. It's unfortunate. I will say
I never voted for that. Never raised my own pay while I was in office. By the way, in office for a decade, got paid the same amount of money. Very important.
Well, and that's why you're the good recovering politician that you are along the way. But, you know, Illinois, I mean, half their increases they did. Let's ignore the fact that they did this for their own self-gratitude and self-promotion off of this. Part of their costs are because of their own failures policy-wise. So they made up for those in other categories and raised, you know, what was the budget up? Over $1 billion? The course of this, I'm sitting here going, why do you need to spend $1 billion more after you significantly saw your budget increase over the last 4 years over a pandemic that, yes, we have incredibly high inflation right now that can't be controlled because we don't have people in Washington that know which ends up over everything. And you have states like Illinois that there isn't a tax they didn't like. Could they have done iGaming and made a hell of a lot more money? Absolutely. They needed to lower the tax rate. My problem with iGaming that comes into play when we do this is, hey, guys, we did this broken for casinos. We've now broken the sports betting model. Let's go do it again now with iGaming. Bad tax policy should never be followed. It's one of the challenges, as we've talked about before, that I saw with the report in Maryland that the state did, that they layered on more bad tax policy and what that should end up with. You know, let's look at the economics of the market. Let's look at the economics of operators, because guess what, guys? You can't continue to do this because the golden goose only has so many eggs, and you got to be able to do it. Yeah, I'm a low tax guy, and yes, that should be the case, but it's the only way innovation, competition, and anything else thrives. Otherwise, you end up with a bad, poor market and only continue to feed people that don't pay taxes, that don't have to pay the regulatory costs associated with it, and give them a free ride along the way that shouldn't occur. And Governor Pritzker sided with not only his fellow politicians, yes, he doesn't get a check, but yes, and he has higher aspirations, but he only sided with them and not with the people of Illinois this week.
The golden goose only has so many eggs. Love that. We're going to look, we are butting up at the end of the show. I want to make one mention to my home state because it's so important. I want to shout out to the Michigan Gaming Control Board. I want to shout out to Director Williams, who's a longtime friend. Awesome, awesome work. For those of you that haven't been following it, the state of Michigan has come forward. The Michigan Gaming Control Board has come forward and said, Bovada, you're out. We want you out of business in our state. You are ruining it for regulated customers, and we are going to do something about it. And this is where it starts right here. This is what we're talking about in the industry when we talk about illegal markets coming in and working to try to overtake in some ways the regulatory market, but the regulated market. But I'm going to say this, regulated market can't thrive if that illegal market is still there. And Michigan has taken the first step, and I encourage other operators to do it. So a huge shout out to Director Williams and the great work of the Michigan Gaming Control Board.
Absolutely. And I can't echo that enough. As I said to you yesterday, obviously, you know, being the Michigan guy that you are and having other good Big Ten friends of mine and Mark and Tom come to play. And I say this, you know, I kept playing Hail to the Victors all day yesterday when this news came out, because it was so good that finally, and I shouldn't say finally, because other regulators are doing the same, but it's literally, guys, we have to take these challenges on with the illegal market out there. You've got people out there that are using the illegal market as their boogeyman, as a soapbox to try to get attention, when literally they're just here to bring down the industry. They're no different than an affiliate for the illegal market and how they promote it. If these guys really cared about shutting down the illegal market, as opposed to trying to score political points with a BS political campaign, they'd go sit and talk to the DOJ. They'd go sit to the FBI and do the right thing, as opposed to saying, oh, hey, guys, let's go screw the guys that want to try to do it right and let these guys thrive in the distance. So those voices don't need to be heard. They can go sit on the bench, enjoy their popcorn, and have a real debate. And when they want to have a debate, they can come here and talk to us about it. But until then, that noise needs to go away. Congrats to the state of Michigan and every other regulator that's going to continue to take on Bovada and all the rest of them along the way. It needs to happen. It needs to continue to happen. And I encourage also people to see what happens, because Michigan also, as you will note, sent a note to suppliers yesterday saying, hey, guys, we want to make sure you're not dealing with any of these guys along the way. So this is a top-down approach, and I commend the state of Michigan. I can tell you know, and every one of these other regulators that signed the letter over a year ago to say, hey, DOJ, hey, FBI, help us with these things and being able to do this, because it's a real problem for our constituents. It's a real problem for the people that want to do business in our state, and it's a real problem for our state-based system in gaming to be able to act if we don't have help in combating this effort.
There we go. And there you have it. We're going to put a bow on it right there. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the World Series of Politics podcast. Coming up next, we've got Brazil. So stick with us. Join us again. And always great. We'll catch you next time.
Sounds great. Thank you, sir. See you next time.
You've been listening to the World Series of Politics podcast with Brendan Bussman and Brent Eichen. We'll be back at the starting line very soon. This has been an IGB production. For the latest news, views, analysis, and data on the global gaming industry, head to iGamingBusiness.com.